Hypermanic noise.
Hello and welcome back to the Hypermanic Noise podcast. We're at episode 5 and man, I'm fucking excited about this one. I got to sit down with Lips Kudlow, lead guitarist and vocalist for the band Anvil. Metal on metal! I heard about these guys much like a lot of Australians. I walked into the store and saw this documentary called Anvil, The Story of Anvil. It was about the band that nearly made it. And man, I've seen 1,000 band documentaries and nothing fucking moves me like this one. These guys were at the top of their game in 1983, man. They were up there with Scorpions, Bon Jovi, all the leading bands of that time. They were all ready to take off, and they all did take off, except for Anvil. But they never gave up. They kept releasing albums, kept touring, kept rehearsing, kept pushing it, kept doing self-funded tours, kept chasing the dream. And they released 12 more albums with very little fanfare. And then this documentary about them was made. People got to see their struggle. They got to see their story. They got to hear the music. And that was like the missing ingredient. And now Anvil have finally got the fucking attention they deserved in the first place. They're touring the world. They're releasing albums on proper labels with great production. They fucking made it. It's just awesome. This is what we need to hear as artists. Whether you're in a band, whether you're telling dick jokes, it doesn't matter. If you fucking do what you want to do, never waver, never surrender, you can fucking get there. These guys are living proof. This is one of the most inspirational chats I've ever had with anybody, podcast or otherwise. This fucking chat changed everything. Hearing someone that struggled, not making a dime, having to work a shitty job just to pursue the dream, and it seemed like it was never going to get there. But regardless, they said, fuck it, this is what we're doing. And they got there. Lips was talking about his friendship with Lemmy and Dave Grohl, the band's new album, which is coming out on January 19th, called Pounding the Pavement. We talked about their touring experience in Australia, and hey, I even ran a bit of an idea past him for an Anvil-themed porno movie, and I got a few laughs out of it, so I was fucking happy. Now, this episode was recorded upstairs during a sound check, so at certain points you will hear some drums come in. It might sound like a shamanistic ritual, but it won't matter, because hearing Lips and his story is just fucking awesome, and I've got goosebumps just thinking about it, man. The guy is the personification of never giving up, not giving a fuck, and chasing your dream, and I hope everybody listening does the same. So, without any further ado, here is Lips Kudlow from fucking Anvil.
Podcast initiation sequence. Headphones. Check. Beer status. Cold and tasty. Check. Penis function. Hard, but unimpressive. Check. Podcast initiation complete. Warning. This episode may cause brain damage. Hypermanic noise.
All right, I'm here with Lips from the band Anvil. How the fuck are you, man?
I'm totally pumped up, good wired, shit, and ready to fucking go.
Awesome, man. It's good to see you guys back after only a couple of years.
Yeah, only four.
Four? So was that the first time you've been?
No, we've been, this is our actually, in reality, fourth time. The first time we didn't play, we just did a couple of appearances at the movie release.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Then the next time we came back was at Soundwave.
Yep.
After Soundwave, we came back in 2014.
That's right. That was a good show.
Did a few shows, and now we're back again. So that's how it went.
Good shit, man. So the new album, you guys have got a Pledge Music campaign.
Yep.
Half Pounding the Pavement. So yep. January 19th, is that right?
That's right. It's coming out January 19th.
Awesome. So who did you produce this one with?
A guy by the name of Jörg Uken.
Okay. It's a mouthful.
Yeah, another German guy.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, man. That's the maker.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, man, you're going to do metal, you do it with the guys who are the leading bunch,
yeah,
you know, and Germany is by far the home of heavy metal and been a very, very crucial and important aspect of what heavy metal is. It kept it alive. I mean, come on, through the 90s, I had record deals in Germany and they kept my band going. Yeah. What could be better than that?
100%. And are you familiar with an Australian band called Mortal Sin?
I've heard the name.
They've got a story that kind of reminds me a little bit of yours, where in the 80s they were signed, the first Australian band to sign to a major label, toured with Metallica, which is fucking huge, and then that next step sort of just didn't happen. And a few years ago, my friend's band was playing with them in Brisbane. They played to 20 people. And then 2 months later, I saw them in Germany playing to 5,000 people. And it was just like, what the fuck is this? Like, how can one country be on the ball? Australia generally is pretty fucked for metal, but it's starting to get better. So,
One market has nothing to do with another.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. It doesn't really make a statement.
Yeah.
One way or another.
No.
It's just what it is. It's how the chips fall.
Exactly.
That's it.
It's the same because I'm a comedian and I do shows with so many comedians that are fucking awesome, and then it's just there's nothing. It's not a quality thing. It's just this, whatever that fucking X factor.
It's a magic. It's luck. It's fucking everything that you have no control over.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Like your story was the magic. I feel like that. You know, the
well,
music.
No. That what did the magic was being able to persevere all the hardships of not being a top grossing band, but at the same time, it's a very, 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 very big statement about success. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about a band that was unsuccessful and did one album and didn't do a record again for 30 years. We're talking about the band that put out fucking 12 albums before that movie happened, on their own volition, on their own terms. That's success.
Well, I watched the documentary again the other day and I cried because my band died after 5 years and we never pushed through that. And you guys have done it relentlessly. And you've never, all the shit that ate my band up and shat it out, you guys just went, well, fuck that, we're gonna keep going.
Well, because it's not, because from our perspective, it's not our fault.
No,
it has nothing to do with our integrity, how good we are or how bad we are or what our show is or what it isn't. It has nothing to do, has all the things to do with the things you have no control over.
And
so how do you blame yourself for things that you have no control over?
That's a good outlook on life in general, man.
Yeah, fuck it. Keep going, man. You can't, look it, it's the same thing as, look at my first performance in my life.
Yep.
I'm about to go out on stage at parents' night at school. I had a rehearsed fucking thing that was no longer than 5 fucking minutes. They come up to me 2 minutes before I'm going on stage. Okay, 10 minutes. 10 minutes before I'm going on stage, and they tell me, you gotta cut out half of it. I went, what the hell is this? How dare you do this to me? They go, how dare you talk back to the teachers? So he took me down to the fucking principal's office where he strapped me across my hands, which I'm about to use on stage. So my hands are all fucking swelled up and fucking beaten.
Jesus.
I went out on that stage, did my 5 fucking minutes, got a standing ovation, and no one said shit to me afterwards. So what did I learn from my first performance? Do what you want and what's in your heart. Fuck the world.
That's fucking sick, man. That's, you know, with stand-up as well, being a comedian, there's a lot of pressure to be clean, try and get on TV. And I don't want to be Seinfeld, and you guys didn't want to be Nickelback. Like, you guys wanted to be Anvil. And you're
well, it's about being unique.
And being you.
Yeah. And being you. Mm-hmm. And if you can't be you, who the fuck are you going
to
be?
I think a lot of people need to fucking ask themselves that question, man. From the documentary, you guys have just kept going from strength to strength. You're back in Australia. Have you eaten any of our national animals? Crocodile, kangaroo?
The first time here when we were on the movie junket,
yeah.
We actually, I did try some kangaroo.
How'd you find it?
I didn't like it.
It's very gamey.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not keen on that, on wild.
Okay.
On wild meat, I'm not. I don't. I don't. I don't particularly, I think I once had moose steak.
All right. That's interesting.
And I actually enjoyed that, but the way it was prepared is why.
Okay.
So it didn't really taste gamey to me. It tasted like a really good steak.
Good shit.
So,
crocodile's worth trying. And they're cunts of animals too. Fucking as many as we can.
Listen, all of it is edible. That's why it's here. We're at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
We got the choice. It's up to us.
I'd probably leave the koalas alone because the main disease killing koalas is chlamydia. So you don't want to taste that with your steak.
No.
Yeah, that's like one gift you don't want from Australia, I think.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, awesome, man. So, what's the response been like? Are you guys weaving any new songs into the set at all, or is that sort of still coming? Or?
No, because the newest record isn't out yet.
Okay.
It's not in our best interest to play that stuff live, because then people's impression is that first, and that's not what you do. You're supposed to hear the recorded version first.
True.
I like traditional format of releasing myself personally.
And the last thing you want to do is put all this effort into an album and then have someone's fucking phone filming the song and having that be the first impression the world gets.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah. And it's not right, because that's not how you do it.
No.
The record company would not be very happy with that.
No. Who are you with this time?
Oh, we're with SPV.
Oh, good shit. That's awesome.
A German label, of course. What else?
And what festivals have you guys played in Germany recently? Because I went there in 2008, which was like...
Oh, we just did two festivals right after we had to rehearse the set before we went and did it in the recording studio.
Oh, cool.
So
that's awesome.
I've never done that. Fresh out of the recording studio, go and play gigs. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We didn't even go home yet.
Shit.
I fucking went from the recording studio, did two festivals in Germany, then came home, then went to South America. I haven't had a time off.
Shit. Is that
like
a good feeling?
Tonight is officially the end of the Anvil is Anvil tour. And there was over 200 shows in that.
That's
in a year and a half. It's fucking insane. It's great.
I love it. Exactly where you want to be, though.
I'm doing exactly what I want to do, how I want to do it, when I want to do it. You cannot beat that shit.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's all dreams come true, man.
Yeah, that's great.
You work hard enough and long enough, your dreams will come true. And you got to always be ready. That's the biggest ticket, because your opportunity could be around the corner and you got to be ready.
Yeah.
So that means, and that ultimately it's the same thing when the movie came to pass and the director came on to me, let's do a movie. I was about to record my 13th album. It's not like I better quick write some songs and go in the studio. It's like, no, we're going to go in and record in a few months. So we're almost ready, and the guy's going, oh great, I'm going to film all this stuff. We're ready to get filmed.
Yeah.
We're ready.
Yeah.
And that's the real ticket to getting anywhere. You got to be fucking on your toes and keep it working, keep it metabolized and happening all the time. That's the thing that it's all about.
Yeah. So how do you guys keep that energy? Like, after so many years, every album still sounds fresh. You got songs like Die for a Lie.
I'm open to the world.
Yeah.
I have not. When you were a writer, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You don't have writer's block. That's a myth. Mm-hmm. You either are or you are not, and that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a problem with coming up with something new. I never have.
And
what I have problems with is getting involved with the right people at the right time. And those are things that are very, very hard to control, if you can control it at all. And ultimately, that's how, you know, you need that luck and those little contingencies to get any headway. Because you could be stuck and never get those things. I mean, it's just like Dave Grohl said to me, you know, he goes, I was in a fucking squatter apartment with no windows, laying on the floor, sleeping on fucking rags and sleeping bags with Kurt Cobain. And then the next week, I'm in the Hyatt Regency looking out over top of LA with $1 million in my pocket. How the fuck do things like that happen? Luck.
Yeah.
being at the right place at the right time, like Lemmy said.
Yeah. And Lemmy tried to poach you for his band back in the day.
Yeah.
Right? And you said no.
I said no.
And that's the right decision. And here we are today. That's
awesome. Well, it's not that it's the right or wrong decision. It was the only decision. I'm in my own band. I write my own music. I'm not going to join someone else's band and become a side member. I didn't want to do that's not that's number one. Number two, I was right in the midst of recording my third album. I'm not going to leave three other guys, a record company, and go fuck you to them and go run to another ship. How much sense does that make?
Well, that's what a cunt does.
You know? Yeah, that's what a cunt does. That's right.
And a lot of cunts do that, you know?
Yeah, selfishness. Mm. But you could say that I'm selfish too. I want it my way.
Yeah.
I want it my way.
But you also
there's nothing wrong with that. And Lemmy respected that completely. And I remained friends with him till his last breath he took. If nothing else, he had 100% respect for me. You know, he did say, this could have really helped your band. Yeah, probably, maybe. Or could have ended it. So...
Well, that's you saying, I care more about the band than myself at this point. Like, you believed in the band, and obviously you could have played Motorhead songs, but that's not the issue.
Not the issue. The issue is, I like writing for Anvil, because I'm writing for myself. If I write for Motorhead, I'm writing for Lemmy, aren't I?
Exactly.
And I'm tailor-making songs to satisfy Motorhead, not to satisfy myself. It turns it into a different game.
Yeah.
We can sit and try to think of what it might have been like. Can you imagine what Butterbus Jerky would have sounded like as a Motorhead song? You know?
Yeah.
Or can you think of what the song Forge and Fire would sound like as a Motorhead song? Because that's what I was doing. That's what I was writing at the moment. And that's what it would have meant. So ultimately, no.
But it would have been at the sacrifice of another classic album.
That's right.
Once released, you know? So
that's right. There would be no Forge and Fire album, right?
Yeah, that's amazing. So
and there would also be no another perfect... what is that album called? Another Perfect Day.
Yeah.
That album wouldn't have existed either.
Yeah.
So there'd been a loss of two albums to make one that might have been a combination of those two things. Would it have worked? We'll never know.
Right. Well, each of them worked on their own, so I think the right decision was made.
Yeah, that's it. And no one was hurt by it. Nothing was bad came out of any of it. And here we are talking about an opportunity that was offered to me, and people look at that, that's a wonderful thing. So it really changed nothing. Everybody looks at me, wow, Lemmy respected Lips. That's I got the same respect whether I did it or didn't do it.
Yeah, 100%.
So ultimately, the friendship and everything that I had with Lemmy was still intact right to the end.
Yeah.
So it's all good, man.
That's awesome. And it's just, you know, I'm from central Queensland, which is buttfuck nowhere, in the middle of nowhere. Went into the store and I saw the DVD, and that was my first exposure to Anvil. And I watched it and I'm like, holy fuck. And even now I'm getting goosebumps. It's just one of the most, I mean, I've watched 100 band documentaries and nothing has moved me like that. Because even though I'm not in a band anymore, that's what I want to do with stand-up comedy. It's a different world, but it's that drive and determination and that not giving a fuck that I want to take on myself. And there's so many people I talk to that you guys are like, fuck, that's who we've got to be. That, you know, when shit gets dark, that's who we've got to be. And it means so much, as just like the music does. Like, I just want to say thank you to you guys, man. That shit really spoke to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that the sheeple out there, they look at, they try to perceive what it all is. And the way that most of these idiots look at it, oh, you didn't write a hit song and become big like Def Leppard or fucking AC/DC, so therefore you're not good. You're gonna measure me by money?
I work with so many comedians that barely get by, and they're fucking amazing. It's got nothing to do with talent, like.
Yeah, stardom has little to do with talent. and mostly to do with luck and being at the right place at the right time. End of story.
These days, you just got to have a nice ass.
That's it, man. It's not. You know, and a lot of stuff that does get really big, you could scratch your head. Why that?
I ask myself that every time I tell
you. You know, I mean, I could ask the very simple question: why Iron Maiden and not Judas Priest?
I would ask that till the day I die. I love Judas Priest.
Now, come on, isn't Judas Priest before Iron Maiden?
Yeah.
Isn't Rob Halford a better singer? Yeah. Do they have better guitar players? Yeah. Better drummers? Yeah. Better songs? Yeah. But why is Iron Maiden bigger?
Who knows?
I'm a metalhead. Mm. I listen to all of it. I'm way more interested in Judas Priest and have been all along than ever with Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden was like, okay, yeah. I get it. You kind of stole Priest's thing and you put a goofy monster on stage and you made it big. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
You're speaking my language, man.
Okay. You might have a better bass player, but I don't know. I mean, Bruce is a great singer. I'm not saying that what Iron Maiden has to offer is not good. That's not what I'm saying.
I know exactly.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, which of the two bands had more impact on me? I don't give a fuck about the people and how many records and how much money. I'm talking about, what did it do for me? Judas Priest did a lot for me personally than any Iron Maiden ever did.
I'm 100%.
Okay, so that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, it's just...
Oh, dude, I get it, man. I feel exactly the same way. So Judas Priest is the shit.
Is there justice? No, there is no justice. There's none.
Well...
And if you really get down to brass tacks, Motorhead are fucking even more ahead of it than Priest. For being the fundamental aspect and holding the ground for fucking the whole time, never varying, never fucking going off the track. Judas Priest did with Turbo Lover.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's instances and during Iron Maiden and Judas Priest's career that they fucking sucked ass.
The X Factor was terrible.
Because they fucking were trying to buy into the fucking American fucking the American sheeple. Well, fuck, you know.
Well, I find you guys, Saxon and Judas Priest, are almost like two bands. You guys have distinct songs which are really rock and roll. Then you've got songs like 666 and March of the Crabs and stuff, which is metal. Like, it, I almost feel like I'm getting two for one. You know?
Well, you are, because, well, the thing about Anvil happened at the end of the rock era and the beginning of the metal era. So we have rock elements.
Yeah.
And those rock elements are completely tied to the United States and rock and roll, because that's what was heavy at that point in time. Guys like Ted Nugent, bands like fucking ZZ Top, bands like fucking Point Blank, bands like I could give you an endless list that were also part of what influenced me, aside from just Black Sabbath and Deep Purple and Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And let's face it, I mean, bands like Cactus and fucking MC5, that shit was happening before there was a Led Zeppelin. So the first heavy sounds ever fucking created, as far as heaviness is concerned, came from the Midwest of the United States anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's influence. Where did it start? Where did it come from? Where did it go to? Right?
Yeah, it's got you here, man. We're talking in Perth, Australia. It's fucking great.
That's right.
So you've got 16 albums with the 17th on the way, Pounding the Pavement.
Right.
Documentary about the band. You guys have played everywhere and anywhere. How many dates? 200 you said you've just finished. So I think one thing missing from your catalogue is everyone now has a porno parody. So what would be the porno parody of Anvil? Like, if you get some, so metal on metal, could that be midget on midget? Or Anvil is Anvil, we could go with Anal is Anal. I reckon Still Going Strong, Thank Christ for Viagra, something like that. I don't know, what do you feel? I think we're going to see some hot chicks banging to Anvil, man. I've been waiting too long. Anyway, dude, look, I've taken up enough of your time. Thanks so much for chatting to me.
Okay, man,
I really appreciate it, and hope you're having a safe flight home.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hypermanic Noise.